Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mdiwa Gavaza, and for today, we do get into how businesses can help to actually see what's going on in terms of some of their marketing and branding exercises. How do you know that a certain campaign is paying off in terms of, you know, the results? How do you measure that a particular campaign is doing what it's meant to do? And to help us through that, we are joined by Nick Durant, who is the founder and CEO of Bluegrass Digital. They are a local web, mobile, and software outfit here in South Africa. Nick is no stranger to the platform. You know, we've spoken to him before. It has been a little bit of time now. I think just going on over a year since we last spoken to him. The last conversation we had with him was, you know, around how businesses can cut the cost of building mobile apps. So today we're going to be looking forward to this discussion around, you know, the use of data and all of that, and how all of that and technology can be used to influence customer behavior. So Nick, greetings to you once again.
Hello Mdiwa, nice to talk to you again.
A good place for us to start always is the organization. We did say that you guys are a local web, mobile, and software outfit, but you know, maybe you could expand on that. Tell us what all of that means.
Thank you. Well, Bluegrass really is focused around designing and building platforms and products for customers. So that obviously extends into areas like interactive websites and e-commerce platforms. And particularly per the topic today around, you know, digital experience platforms. So really helping customers really unpack and go through user experience processes, design processes to map out the best possible kind of experience for their website or even mobile applications.
So when we talk about influencing customer behavior, then from a platform point of view, I think that's what we are now then trying to piece together to say, you know, from your purview, what does that actually look like? And if someone is a business owner, how do they implement something like that?
Well, the process itself is quite extensive. If you probably have the money and budget to invest in that process. Generally upfront, before we build any sort of platform, you go through a process called user experience. And part of that is mapping out the customer journey. Also conducting sort of research, around qualitative data and quantitative research, taking all these different inputs, which may even extend to a process where you're interviewing your customers, your employees, for example, and trying to bring all this information, interpret it into designing out what is going to be your customer experience at the end of the day.
All right. No. Thank you so much for that. And I think hopefully, you know, people are beginning to at least understand, you know, what's actually going on there. So when it comes to that, that journey that happens, what are some of the key steps? Because, you know, I can imagine that maybe you guys are mapping out different touch points. Maybe you guys are, you know, mapping out all the different ways in which people interact with businesses. Are you literally thinking about how we as customers, I guess, engage with the brands, maybe website, mobile app, etc.?
Yes. So, I mean, it's today it can be quite a holistic process. They talk about omni-channel. So that's trying to bring the customer experience together, both the experience in store or offline, as well as the online experience. So when you collect the data and if I'm shopping in store, that data hopefully is, you know, being collected. And if they possibly talk to someone at a call center, they recognize who I am and collect further data. And if I'm shopping online, you know, and log in and check out, they're collecting more data about me. So you can understand that if these are disjointed, then my customer experience is going to be very different at all of these kind of touch points. But if they're bringing this data together, then they can obviously enhance that customer experience further. So often we don't maybe even get access to all that data and companies are still trying to pull that together. I mean, some have had a head start, and certainly during the pandemic, there's been an acceleration and effort by organizations to try and promote the development of their online channels. And a lot of that is also around the data side, so pulling their data together within all their systems, so they have a kind of holistic view of the customer. So obviously technology is used almost at every point nowadays in terms of defining what the best customer experience is, which in itself is not a kind of a one-step process. It's really continually enhancing that experience all the time as each organization learns around inputs of this data about improving that customer experience at the end of the day. And that's what it's all about, really. Continue to try and improve your channels to enhance that customer experience.
What do you say then? Because with everything that you're talking about, receiving all the data, one of the things you highlighted just now is the fact that in certain instances, it's better when there's, you know, a unified platform where the data is at, because if it's disjointed, you know, then you might not get, you know, that proper holistic view. And, you know, the more data people, gather, the better and all of that. What do you then say? Because I think what I'm trying to get at is, what is the actual need, or what is the actual thing that people are missing when it comes to this issue? And when I say missing, I'm merely talking about before the advent of digital, right? Somehow, some way, businesses were interacting with their customers. Somehow, some way, businesses were able to do, you know, customer service. Some were actually good at it. Somehow, some way, call centers were operating, etc. But they were doing it without all of this big data. What has the big data actually done tangibly that is actually helping businesses with their processes?
Well, I think, you know, there's certain, I suppose, rules through historical processes where, you know, and to you and I, maybe it's obvious what good customer experience is. But I suppose, you know, and there was this sort of data analysis going on in before e-commerce came along, because, you know, as you and I walk into a store and, you know, we're looking for product placement, we're looking for the right category, the aisle to walk down, the experience in checking out. You know, this has been around for a long time, this sort of thinking and analysis. Now, obviously, with the advent of digital and a lot more e-commerce that is going on, there's been and technology has been able to then pull this data together from all these different points in the process, even the in-store data that is collected, and be able to then pull it together, so they have almost a single view of the customer. I suppose that is the magic, is trying to bring everything together and create a single view of the customer. That means when I'm interacting with at any of those touch points, both online or through a customer call center or in store, they actually identify who I am and actually can then personalize, hopefully, that experience. So, you know, a lot more technology these days. And I mentioned earlier on digital experience platforms. One of the areas we focus on is implementing a certain platform called Optimizely. And that is all about putting data and bringing in machine learning and AI into the customer service journey. And through that, it uses data and starts to learn more about who I am as a customer. And that can then start to personalize my experience online as I check out. And again, this data is collected and more learning is created around the customer, the personas that we identify within our organization. And that all kind of helps drive this ongoing process. It can be quite sophisticated, and obviously larger organizations have the kind of the money and clout behind it to actually do a lot of this analysis and implement these big platforms. But I suppose a starting point for many of the smaller organization is getting a e-commerce solution that ticks a lot of the boxes to start with before they start enhancing that customer journey further. The platforms and popular ones like Shopify are good starting points for customers, because out of the box, they've got a lot of these components and tools ready to go. And then, you know, it allows those companies to start at some point with something fairly decent from where they can then start to do all the deeper analysis and understanding and learning around their customers from that point on.
It certainly sounds like there's a lot that's going on and that could help businesses to at least understand what's going on. And you've already brought in the fact that there are tools being used, digital tools. And one of the things I'm curious about is when one is using digital tools like that, is it possible to map out such a customer journey through purely digital means? And the reason why I'm asking that is because we spoke earlier on about how in terms of getting that holistic view of the customer, one has to consider both what's going on in the e-commerce space, but also at the same time what goes on in the physical space, just so that people can get as closely matched an experience as possible. So does it necessarily all end up being digital, or is there that ability where people can actually come in, physically, walking into a store and, trying to map out? Maybe you can hire some young people and then they themselves walk through a store, what is it like to buy A, B, C, and D, and then, reporting, their results as a way to see what it's like in the physical space. And then, the same is done when someone is, interacting with an e-commerce platform. Or do these tools, just do it on their own in a digital way?
Well, I mean, Diwa, there are obviously various range of tools for different purposes, and designing in-store experiences obviously is in itself a process and a learning that has been around for a long time, and obviously, in more recent decades, the online space has emerged, and various tools have emerged as that has kind of grown in itself. And those tools continue to evolve and improve all the time. So it's about using the appropriate tool, I suppose, for the right purpose. And so at the end of the day, what companies do try and do is bring together a more holistic view of the overall experience, because obviously the online space, there are certain steps that need to be mapped out for the ideal customer journey, as well as you would from an in-store, a physical store where you're walking in and obviously need to identify what you're looking for, the number of customer service staff that are going to help. So all those sort of signposts and so forth, as you would expect on a website as well, various signposts to help you along your way. Because it's not about simply the marketing, which is really bringing you as a customer to the website or the store or making a phone call. But obviously that whole journey, that customer journey throughout the process to checkout, to the customer service follow-up, to the reviews, to the delivery, for example. So there are a number of steps that need to be looked at. I mean, nowadays they're also trying to bring both the in-store and the digital space closer together. And now you start to see the kind of use of virtual reality. We don't see it as mainstream yet. We see some of the big brands around the world starting to test that sort of experience. There's even in Asia, I've seen use of some identifying tools that can identify a customer as they come in the store. And so then be able to determine what marketing messages they should see. And it's adding an in-store personal experience, as you would sort of expect on an online experience as well. So there's more of this kind of bringing it back together situation that's starting to unfold. But it all depends on, us as where we are in South Africa. We obviously are still evolving ourselves, in terms of best of breed e-commerce experiences. And there's obviously a few leaders that are driving that all the time. And then there's obviously with the pandemic, a lot more of companies that weren't online have had to come online and catch up very quickly. So we've got a lot of work to do before we start to do a lot of these kind of bells and whistles, just about getting the basics right, in terms of customer experience.
One of the things I'm quite curious about right now, because you've been talking about how we've focused quite a bit on the e-commerce side of things. And yes, we've also spoken about some of the physical customer experiences as well. But I wanted to get your sense of which type of businesses are actually using this type of thing, or rather in your experience or the type of clients that you're advising as Bluegrass Digital, what type of clients do you find yourselves helping out with this type of thing? And I ask that question simply because not all businesses operate the same. And then at the same time, like you said, a number of businesses have come online over the pandemic period. So has everyone come online and is gung-ho and is investing in all of this research and data? Or, you know, do we still have those companies that are still, you know, trying to figure themselves out, you know, taking that watch and wait type of approach when it comes to implementing, you know, some of these things to say, no, we'll just see how it goes. But for now, as long as we have some type of an online presence, it's fine. We will do sophisticated, you know, sort of mapping of our customer experience later on down the line. How do you see that playing out, those types of discussions?
Well, I suppose we work with various clients from blue chip to smaller businesses and startups. I think each of those customer types are at different points in the journey. So, you know, at the blue chip, we work with like Coronation, and we work with companies like Mazda, for example, where we're implementing the technology around kind of personalization, customers, journey mapping, for example, improving those journeys and refining those processes, where, you know, the smaller clients are coming on and they're looking for best of sort of breed, out of the box e-commerce to get themselves online as quickly as possible and to really get stuck into the online shopping world and finding new customers. Now, the needs for those types of businesses all vary. And, you know, I think everyone can use examples of who's doing it well, you know, not only locally, but globally, in terms of the Amazons of this world or the Takealot Superbalists, who invest a lot of time and money in improving the user experience all the time and adding new tools to the customer journey to make that buying decision a lot easier. Because at the end of the day, a lot of it is almost common sense, and it's been around, you know, customer experience and customer service has been around a long time. So, you know, making, you know, you and I probably operate and get frustrated in store, you know, when you see no customer service reps available, or there's a long queue at the till, and everyone's, you know, walking around in store and no one wants to take your money. And likewise online, when you on a product page and you don't have enough images, for example, or right sizing information, and you sort of drop off, and so, you know, that customer's lost. So all of these things, you sometimes wonder why they're not being done, because they're so obvious to you. But it's about taking the time to be able to correct and improve your customer journey all the time. And you know, the larger and smaller customers have different priorities, I suppose. And slowly but surely, I mean, more and more is being invested online, so that customer experience will improve over time.
Perhaps as, you know, as one of the ways, as we're winding up this discussion, Nick, is turning to the other side, because we've been focusing quite a bit on the businesses, but the customers themselves, the consumers, the end user, the people for whom all of this stuff is being done to improve the experience thereof. How do you gauge the feedback? You know, to say, okay, fine. As company X, I think you mentioned a couple of blue chip clients that you guys have. And they'll come to you guys. You guys will help them, with, mapping out the customer experience and all of that. How do you then gauge from the customers themselves or the consumers, or whoever that end person is, to say, you know, did you notice A, B, C, and D? Or is this one of those things that should just work in the background without customers necessarily knowing it's there, that all they should be seeing and experiencing is something that's seamless?
Well, I think it's all about collection of data and as much as you can in terms of learning. There's the obvious Google Analytics, which almost every organizations should employ on their website because it's free and it's one of the most powerful analytic tools out there, for example. And it's one thing having the tool, but it's also taking the time to interpret and understand where, what the data is telling you and how you're going to make those changes to the website. There are various other tools and different organizations use those tools. Some of them also using customer surveys and forms. So again, it goes back to our original points around data collection. I mean, you can almost overwhelm yourself with too much data. So it depends on the size of the team you have in terms of interpreting that and actually utilizing that data, because it'll go back into both what is happening on your website, so the customer experience and the customer journey, but also potentially back into the marketing team, you know, in terms of their campaigns and what information and how they're driving customers to the website or to the in-store as well. So it's about, you know, those marketing promises and actually being able to back them up through the online experience. And also these platforms I spoke about can dynamically change the experience as a user goes along the journey. So they employ the AI and use dynamic A-B split testing. So they test content or product placement on the page, and then they can work out which one is doing better than the other. And slowly the platform will start to push the product that's doing better over the other one. So these things are happening on the fly, and often we're not aware of them. But they're all there to kind of focus our attention, to convert us, and obviously make the transaction, and ultimately, I suppose, create a great customer experience.
As we end off then, Nick, for some of the smaller businesses or smaller business people that may be listening or that may be curious about getting involved or at least improving how they do this, because you mentioned just now that something like Google Analytics is free to use, right? What are some of the tools that maybe you could recommend? And I think my question is two-pronged. First one is, what type of tools would you recommend that are either free or a little bit more affordable? Because, you know, the small businesses sometimes don't have large budgets for some of the subscription services that may run into hundreds or thousands of dollars out there. And then at the same time, at what point does a business person then graduate to say, okay, fine, I need to go and talk to someone like Nick in terms of getting that advice around how to do all of this?
Well, in terms of tools, Google Analytics is a data analysis tool, and obviously it's free. I mean, in terms of e-commerce platforms, some of these platforms like WooCommerce, which is WordPress's e-commerce solution, or I mentioned Shopify earlier, they are low cost, sort of out of the box solutions. Of course, you need someone to help you implement them. And that's where the service fees come in. And it really becomes how long is a piece of string, but they generally are entry level, and they come with various components, which are called generally plugins, but they are also, there are a number of them which are very affordable. So those plugins may enhance that customer journey. It may help you collect data. So start collecting your customer information. So you're talking CRM here. there are also various other tools to really drive, you know, payment options for customers, for example. And very quickly, a small business can get themselves online. Even, you know, starting with a vanilla sort of out of the box solution, they can easily add to that as time goes on and budget allows. Generally, Google Analytics is a great tool because then it allows you to understand, you know, your traffic and what the behaviors are on your website in order to be able to improve that. And those are good probably starting points, you know, in terms of the tools and elements that you need to get going online.
So that's been it. We were talking to Nick Durant. Nick Durant just giving us some insight into the world of how businesses can actually map out customer experiences, customer journeys as a way to improve that customer experience. Because at the end of the day, as little friction as possible would be a good way to, you know, would be a good way to help drive engagement, to drive sales, you know, particularly on things like e-commerce platforms. But he's also then saying that this can also be applied, you know, to other environments as well. But particularly in e-commerce, it works very well because at least you're able to gather, you know, a lot of data. And he's saying that that data collection is at the heart of all of this stuff, because it can help you to gauge where customers are today. And as you plan out, as you strategize and implement new things, and continuously collect data, you can see, you know, how some of that sentiment, how some of the strategies are being received, by the customers. So Nick, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you again, Madiba.
This is Madiba's Take.
Great discussion there with Nick around mapping customer experiences, mapping customer journeys. Very important because of everything that's going on over in the e-commerce space, using data to your advantage. But I think it's one of those tricky ones, simply because, and when I say tricky, I'm just more talking about, I'm now thinking about it from a small business point of view, right? You know, to say, how do you even begin, you know, to map out some of these things? But I guess that's why tools are very important. Nick spoke a lot about different tools out there, and I think, you know, if people can at least start using something like Google Analytics, it leads you down a good path, at least to start seeing what are some of the data points. And as you use things like that a little bit more, you can then start graduating to, you know, to start using maybe something that's a little bit more focused, a little bit more niche. Yeah, that's the first thing. And then the second one is that, as much as I'm talking about small businesses, even some of the large corporates, especially the ones that are a little bit slower to change and innovation, would probably benefit from something like this, because at the end of the day, the more you understand the customer, at least the pain points, the easier it is to fix some of those things and actually help to drive sales in one way or another. It would be good to talk to Nick again, just to see, you know, what else is happening, you know, when it comes to mapping out some of those things, and also what else businesses can do once you have the data to actually help you out in terms of, you know, the customer experience. But I can also imagine that as you're gathering the data as well, you can also make decisions around what to actually have on shelves, what to offer on your e-commerce platform, what type of goods are in demand, you know, what's selling, what's not selling, you know, and how to improve, you know, some of those things. So, you know, really great use of data. We keep, you know, we've been hearing about data science, big data for a number of years, so always good to hear some of the practical ways that people are making use of data in business. And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.